Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was growing up, my favorite author was Madeleine L'Engle. She was a writer of books for youth and adults, whose writing was informed by her deep Christian faith. My very favorite book was A Wrinkle in Time. Have any of you read A Wrinkle in Time? That's an oldie. Have any of you watched Stranger Things and the whole last season is about A Wrinkle in Time? I was like, oh, they brought my book. Anyway, in the story, the teenage Meg Murray goes on a journey through space to rescue her father from the evil force which holds him. She is guided by three supernatural beings, Mrs. What's-It, Mrs. Witch, and Mrs. Who. Recently, I've been reminded of a particular moment in the book. Mrs. What's-It whispers to Meg, "Stay angry, little Meg. You will need all your anger now." In the story, Meg's anger gives her the motivation, the drive, to keep going against all odds, against it, capital I, the huge danger and evil that holds her father and then her brother hostage. And when she comes face to face with it, she realizes that there is one thing she has which it can never have, and that is love. And so in this story, she rescues her father and her brother with the power of her anger and her love. Today, we read a story in the gospel in which Jesus gets angry. He doesn't just get angry, he acts on his anger. I read a number of commentaries that very carefully say that notice he wasn't violent to anybody. But I have to say that turning over tables and throwing things around is violent. It isn't completely clear to us why he is angry. We know that the sellers and money changers are necessary, especially for the people who are coming to the temple from far away on their Passover pilgrimage. They need the animals, the birds, they need to change their money into coin that can be used in the temple. But they have transgressed some boundary, crossed some line. Perhaps by carrying out their trade within the temple grounds, perhaps because they are enriching themselves at the expense of other worshipers, not dealing fairly with their customers. John isn't clear about why, but the disciples recognize that Jesus is acting out of his zeal, his great passion for the temple and the worship that happens there. Jesus acts in the tradition of the Hebrew prophets who had harsh words for anyone who went through the motions of ritual worship, but didn't have the love of God and neighbors in their hearts. The prophets called out injustice when they saw it and warned of the consequences of neglecting the poor and vulnerable people in their communities. They reminded kings and communities that care for one another was not just an option for the people of God, but a requirement. This story may make us uncomfortable, as prophets often do, because many of us, and I would say especially the women here, have been taught that it is not okay to be angry. We have been taught that good Christians are always nice, never get angry, never hurt anyone's feelings, or engage in confrontation. We have been taught that anger is a failure of love. Yet, we are angry. We are angry and we are uncomfortable with being angry. We are angry and we feel guilty, like we're somehow less faithful in our anger. And so I want to say that I believe that the idea that anger is not Christian is wrong, is actually completely backwards. I have come to believe that sometimes anger is the only appropriate loving response to injustice and harm. When I was in seminary, I came across an essay by womanist theologian Beverly Wildon Harrison called The Power of Anger in the Work of Love. Now, friends, the very fact that I remember both the title and the author of this essay after some 35 years tells you what an impact it has on me, had on me. A womanist theologian does theology from the perspective of women of color, writing at the intersection of sexism and racism in religion and church and society. I had never heard an argument such as the one Harrison makes, that anger is actually a response of love to a situation that harms oneself or others. It was a revelation. So as I was exploring this topic on the internet this week, I came across another sermon by Mennonite pastor Sherry Hostetler from 2024, in which she also remembers reading Harrison's article in seminary, probably about the same time I did. And she says some things exactly what I wanted to say just a little better than I could, so I'm going to read from her sermon. When I was a seminary student, I read an essay called The Power of Anger in the Work of Love. That essay said a lot of great things, but what has stuck with me for 35 years is the title itself and the wisdom it conveys to us. Anger is a natural response when boundaries are transgressed, when we are invalidated or abused, or when people or creatures or places we love are abused. Anger is simply a boundary, a no, arising from within us, telling us that something must be protected, that something is not right. Being a woman from an Amish Mennonite background, I was taught pretty much from birth to suppress my anger. But it's not just me, so many of us are. And it's true that, like fire, anger can either transform or destroy. The unskillful use of anger can destroy relationships and cause more harm. But, as Harrison says, suppressed anger robs us of the power to love, the power to act. We need to celebrate anger's rightful place within the work of love. Anger is not the opposite of love, she says, but a sign that all is not well in the world around us and that injustice needs to be addressed. If we shut down our anger when our boundaries have been violated, we empower those who wrong us or who wrong others. If we shut down our anger when boundaries have been violated, we diminish the prophetic spark within us that can empower us to take action for the good. So a few weeks ago, in our Bible study, we talked about anger and our struggle with anger. And I realized that I needed to preach this sermon and that this story of cleansing the temple was coming up to give me an opening. I need to preach about anger after hearing from so many friends in Chicago and Minneapolis about the struggles they are facing, and also about the resistance that clergy and people of faith are making to abuses of ICE in their communities. It is in the prophetic tradition of our faith to get angry at injustice, to call it out, and to work tirelessly for justice. 6 decades ago, the civil rights movement drew people from around the country to support their demonstrations and marches. People moved by love of neighbor and anger at the racial injustice they witnessed. They used their anger not to lash out, meeting violence with violence and hate with hate, but in non-violent protest, in solidarity, centered on the belief that justice could prevail. On March 8, 1965, as state violence was unleashed against black citizens in Selma, Martin Luther King Jr. wrote a telegram to clergy across the nation. He wrote, calling them to come to Selma to be a part of the protests. He wrote, "In the vicious maltreatment of defenseless citizens of Selma, where old women and young children were gassed and clubbed at random, we have witnessed an eruption of the disease of racism, which seeks to destroy all of America. No American is without responsibility. All are involved in the sorrow that rises from Selma to contaminate every crevice of our national life. The people of Selma will struggle on for the soul of the nation, but it is fitting that all America help to bear the burden. This year, our remembrance of Martin Luther King Jr. has a particular resonance as we come again to a moment of moral crisis in our nation. We are facing such a time now, witnessing the terrorizing and detention of immigrants and people of color, and the use of targeted violence against protesters and those who stand in solidarity. Witnessing the dismantling of social systems of support and care for our most vulnerable citizens. Witnessing attacks on the basic civil rights of our LGBTQ siblings. Witnessing the use and threat of violence at the service of empire. It is a time when people of faith are called to respond with prophetic voice and action. There's a group, a clergy group, civil rights group in Minneapolis right now that is putting out the call for clergy and people of faith to come to Minneapolis for an action on Friday. And I'm struggling, I'm feeling compelled to be there, to stand up and be in that place. We need to be angry. We need to use our anger for the power of love, to stand up for our neighbors who are targeted by hate, to support our neighbors who don't have adequate food, shelter, and health care. We need to speak and act on behalf of our God who desires abundant life for all. And I close with a blessing for a time such as this. May God bless you with discomfort at easy answers, half-truths, and superficial relationships, so that you may live deep within your heart. May God bless you with anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer pain, rejection, hunger, and war, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them. And may God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in the world, so that you do what others claim cannot be done, to bring justice and kindness to all our children. Amen. Amen.